Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Hey everybody, so glad you could join us here today. I mean, what a tumultuous 24 hours it has been since we went on lockdown yesterday. And hey, I'm so glad that we are the church. We don't necessarily go to church, but you're here with us. You're engaging with us. You're ready to worship, or you've been worshiping, and we're going to continue to worship God as we prepare our hearts for the word. We're going to worship God in our finances, and I wanted to thank all of you for your tithes and your offerings towards God and just continuing to stand with us as we continue to pursue God's heart for Brisbane and making disciples here and seeing this city transformed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. My name is Nelly, and I am the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. We have two locations. We have a location in Central in Kupuru, and then we have a location out in Springwood, out in there in Logan City. But unfortunately, both of those areas, those councils, have been locked down. Our whole city's been unlocked down, and we are in lockdown for these 3 days. So I'm standing with you, and we want you to please let us know how we can stand with you and pray with you on the chat, so we can all stand with each other on the Facebook chat. And if you have a private matter that you'd love for us to pray for, please let us know by messaging us privately here on Every Nation Brisbane's Facebook page. With that in mind, earlier this weekend, you know, I'm just really blessed to be a part of our church community, our spiritual family. And we, for those of you who are guests with us, and this is your first time tuning into anything that we've been doing as Every Nation Brisbane, we want to welcome you as well. Let us know where you're watching from, whether you're a guest or this is your spiritual home. Let us know where you're watching from so we can stand with you. But earlier this weekend, I was really blessed to visit with our spiritual family out there in Logan and hang out with the Silverbacks crew. We were doing some hip-hop step, and it was just really interesting, right? Because I was asking different people that were there, you know, friends and new friends, what their plans were for the weekend. And some had planned to make the most of Saturday and get out in the beautiful weather that we have here in Queensland. Some were planning to go visit doctors or get tax accounts done or go out and go catch a movie. But then by the time I got home from Silverbacks, the announcement was made that we're going into lockdown. And it's interesting because it's in moments where we are unsure that we actually find out what our lives are founded on. And so as we're in this series called By the Book, you know, my heart for you as the pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane is that you will discover the power of having a life founded on the Word of God. So today, I'm actually going to just talk a little bit about a very popular parable, which is known mostly by what is called the parable of the sower. And I'm going to read it to you from Mark chapter 4, and I want you to track along with me as I read this, okay? So picture this. Jesus is out there. He's actually standing in a boat in the water because there's a massive crowd along the shore, and if he was standing on the shore, there would be no way for everybody to hear him. So he's standing in the boat, and he's getting ready to tell this parable. And so if you're with me in Mark chapter 4, I'm going to be reading from the third verse, so follow with me. It says here, "Listen," that's a good start, right? "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." Now, I had to explain to my daughter earlier this week because she was asking me, "Dad, I thought sowers are like people that are tailors that sow clothes." No, this is those who sow seeds. We call them gardeners, okay? So a gardener went to plant seeds. So let's put it that way. "And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprung up," wow, "since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, since it had no root, and it withered away. Other seed fell along thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So it's not just like an extra 30 or an extra 60 or an extra 100. And this is not percentages either. It's like exponentially 30 times what was initially there, 60 times what was initially there, and 100 times what was initially there. Verse 9, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. May God bless the reading of his holy word today. Now in this parable, right, he's speaking to this large crowd. And then later on, we actually find in the next part of this chapter that the disciples come and they're like, okay, Jesus, the crowd's up there, but can you break down this story, this parable? And for those of you who don't know what a parable is an allegory or an example, an illustration, an earthly example with heavenly meaning. And so as he's alone with the disciples, this is the way he talks to them. And he says in verse 13, Jesus says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So what Jesus is saying here to his disciples then and his disciples now is that this parable is primary for us to understand, and he breaks it down. Don't you love it that Jesus doesn't leave everything mysterious up in the air? He wants us to gain understanding. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, the King Solomon back in the day wrote that wisdom is the principal thing, but in all you're getting, get understanding. He was the wisest man that lived before Jesus Christ. So for him to say that, get understanding, means that that is the heart of God for us. So hopefully you're understanding what Jesus is about to break down now. So the sower sows the seed. What is the seed? It says here in verse 14 that the sower sows the word. Everybody say, the sower sows the word. Or for modern day vernacular, the gardener plants the word. What do they plant? They don't plant their opinion. They don't plant their social media status. They don't plant a selfie. They don't plant anything else. They plant the word. Now, this is going to make sense in a moment. Now, watch this. In verse 15, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Now, this is the example that he gives here. Remember, he talked about having seed that fell on a path. Now, I have an example here. I don't have seed in my pocket, but I have a, what is this? It's a 10 Hong Kong cents, I think it is. Shout out to Hong Kong. I don't even have Australian money in my pocket. But let's pretend this is seed, right? And the seed basically fell on the ground. There's no way, if you can see right there on your screen, that it actually is planted, because there's no soil, it's hard, and it's easy for it to be snatched away. And so Satan snatches the word away because it's not planted. Now, we'll unpack that in just a moment, because there's some significance in that understanding. See, when something is planted, it becomes subdued and engulfed. It becomes enraptured with whatever it is. Now, it can't go any deeper than the cement, because the cement is hard. So the word needs to be planted, obviously, in the lives and, dare I say, in the hearts of people. But if our hearts are hardened, the seed will just come off. Let's continue. And then there are ones; these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, so they hear it, immediately they receive it with joy. Like, have you noticed this in your life, or maybe in the lives of others, where you hear the word of God and you're excited about it, but watch what happens in the rocky ground. Verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. So they endure for a while, but because there's no root, then when tribulation or persecution comes or arises on the account of the word, immediately they fall away. Now think about it. We're in the middle of a tribulation right now. I was actually online just chatting with some pastoral friends of mine around the world who, you know, just been messaging me when they heard news of the lockdown. It's amazing how this news travels so quickly around the world. And so I got messages from countries that have been in lockdown for over 100 days. And they were saying, I'm so sorry to hear, Nelly, that you're about to go into lockdown. And I messaged them back, and I appreciate your prayers. Thank you for praying for us. But I'm inspired by your example, being in lockdown and being a pastor of a church for many more days than I have experienced. Besides, I serve a God who specializes in breaking out of three-day lockdowns. So when I consider that, I understand that part of life is walking through tribulation. See, if the condition of our heart is rocky soil, so the soil is not very deep, right? Because the root structure is not able to penetrate between the hard and rocky surfaces underneath the soil. What can have a tendency to happen is when trials hit and tribulations come, that's when the little stems that come from the seed are baked and there's no possibility of it ever bearing fruit. Now let's think about that for a moment. When we think about the trials that you may have faced or I may have faced over the last 18 months since this pandemic really surfaced around the world, we must consider, like, what is the condition of our hearts? Is it rocky ground, or is it soil that has the ability for roots to penetrate deeply? And God's desire is for us to have roots that penetrate deeply within the soil of our hearts. Now check out the next type of ground. It's the thorns. And the thorns are sown in verse 18. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word. The word is strangled and it proves to be unfruitful. So it's the thorns, and many of you have heard me preach about the thorny bushes, right? The word is sown and it does bear fruit, but as the fruit begins to sprout up, it is strangled by the cares of this world, the anxieties of this world, and they strangle out the deposit of the word of God, so it's not able to bear fruit. I often think about this when I think about Jesus, and this is what I've preached before, and many of you have heard me preach, but I think it bears repeating, is that Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, the Roman soldiers would surround him and form for him a crown of thorns that he would eventually take to the cross, because the crown would be symbolic as well and prophetic of the anxieties and the cares of this world being taken to the cross and being borne upon the head of the Almighty God, wrapped in flesh, Jesus Christ. He would take our cares and our anxieties, the things that strangle out the word, were taken and crucified upon that cross. And so that's the beauty of what Jesus did, is that he takes those anxieties. That's why the apostle Paul can easily say in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 and 7, don't be anxious for anything, but with prayer, petition, and with thanksgiving, present your request before the Lord, that the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Now, the last type of ground is the good soil, and many of us, including myself, want to be that good soil. God, sow your seed into good soil, the good soil of my life and of my heart. We all want to be that kind of soil. And that soil, when the seed penetrates the soil, its roots are able to go deep. The soil is broken down, and so as the sprout comes up, it's able to bear shoots and then eventually fruit. And this is the type of soil where, you know, like all of us that do have the blessing of being able to follow Jesus, we all want to have hearts like that, right? We all want to have hearts that have good soil. But have you ever considered that when we think about what it takes to have good soil in our hearts, there's an uprooting of thorny bushes. There's a weeding that takes place. There's a breaking down of hardened ground. There's a process that God brings us through in order that it becomes soil, it becomes supple, it becomes broken down so that roots can penetrate and sprout up with fruit eventually. That's what's required in order for soil to become soil. There's a process that happens. Now, when I think about the scripture, I've heard it. I've heard it actually being misused in the past, where some people have said, you know what, if you sow into my ministry, you'll receive 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold because I'm good soil. That's not what the scripture is necessarily saying. And it's not necessarily saying that we are the primary sower, but we understand that there is only one who sows. There is one gardener, alluding to the garden that we were created in the beginning, right? Is that is the perfect place for the cultivation of the seed of which God sows in us is the restoration of that deepened intimacy that can be found, that withstands throughout whatever circumstances and whatever trials you may face. There's a deepened understanding of, you know what, no matter what I'm going through, I know that this is a part of the process of restoring me back to the good soil of that garden. So follow me with this, okay? The seed is the word of God, but it's more than just pages on a text, right? It's more than just this. It's the fact that he is the word of God. And what has been sown from heaven is Jesus Christ. Check this out. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." Verse 14 says, "And the word became flesh," right? "And dwelt among us," Emmanuel. This speaks of Jesus Christ not being like actual text on a page, but being the culmination, being the embodiment, being the one who is the Old Testament fulfilled. He is the law fulfilled. He is the word of God fulfilled. And the sower sows the word. He didn't drop down Bibles from heaven, right? What he sowed was his son. See, I'm reminded in John chapter 12, verse 24, it says, "Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if a seed falls to the ground and dies, it will bear many more seed." Galatians also talks about how we are Abraham's seed, how we are the seed of the Old Testament. We are the seed of Jesus' inheritance through Christ. We are his seed. But we are only his seed because that seed from heaven came to earth. The word of God through Jesus Christ came to earth and died in order that he may bear much fruit. And you and I are that fruit. So this is as simple as understanding that he has laid his life down as God's seed of heaven in order that we may become his seed. So really there's just two questions I have to ask you today in our service. Is that first question is for those of you who aren't yet followers of Jesus, and maybe you find yourself just hearing this message and being like, you know what, Nelly, I've tried to understand what it's like to, you know, I can see myself in the other three types of soil. And you know what? This is the beauty of it. Before I ask that question, this is the beauty of this understanding. Think about this for a moment. Most gardeners would look at the way that the seed was sown and think, man, this gardener, this sower is completely unwise in sowing. Why would you waste seed on a path? Why would you waste seed on a rocky ground? Why would you waste seed amongst thorny bushes? You know it won't grow properly. But when we see the conditions of our hearts, I can think about times in my own life that my heart has been like a path, or my heart has been like rocky ground. My heart has been like thorny bushes where the word's gotten strangled or scorched by the sun, or it hasn't even penetrated deeply. But by his grace, he still sows the seed of his word, Jesus Christ. So that question I want to ask those of you who are not walking with Christ and you don't have God leading your life, I want to ask you, will you receive the seed of Jesus, his laid down life? And then for those of us who do follow with Jesus, understanding that he has laid down his life no matter what season we're in, whether we were paths or rocky roads or thorny bush type soils, or whether we are good soils, our response would be, will we lay down our lives for others, no matter what season they're in as well? I want to encourage those of you who are followers of Jesus, this is very countercultural, because culturally we would say, look, I would not sow my seed, the seed of my time and pouring my deposit of preaching this gospel in soil that is not going to bear fruit because it's a path, or because it's rocky road, or because it's thorny bushes. And God would say, but I sowed into you when you were in those seasons. I sowed Jesus into you. Won't we be willing, like any good gardener, to get our hands dirty no matter what condition the ground is in, and just be willing to trust God that wherever he sows seed, it will continue to bear fruit in due time? Now, I want to pray for you. I'll give you those questions one more time. And I want to pray for those of you, firstly, who would like to follow Jesus. Maybe you're recognizing that Jesus has laid his life down for you and you've received you want to receive the seed of his word in your heart and in your life in order that he may rule with you. I'm going to pray for you, firstly. So just follow me in this prayer. Jesus, I just pray for those who are on this, or who are watching this or on this stream right now, that have a deep desire to want to lay their lives down to follow you. Lord, in the same way that you sowed the best of heaven to die in order that may bear much more seed, Lord, I pray that you would enable the seed of your word, Jesus Christ, to penetrate deeply in the hearts of those who want to follow you. Lord, till the soil of our hearts, plow the soil of our hearts, that we may be pliable by your leading in Jesus' name. And Lord, as I pray, even for those who are following Jesus, and maybe we need our hearts turned, Lord God, maybe we lack compassion, maybe we're like the Pharisees during the time of Jesus, where we're always pointing the finger at other what's wrong with other people and why we refuse to get our hands dirty. God, break our hearts for what breaks your heart. Break our hearts with compassion for those who are around us who don't seem perfect, who seem unlovable, Lord God. Forgive us for our unrighteousness and just trying to position ourselves as higher than thou. Lord, when you sent your son Jesus, he died a shameful death in order to embrace the shame that was due to us. He took upon himself the wrath of that was due to us, Lord God. And there was nothing pretty about it. But what was beautiful is the love that flowed from that cross for us, Lord, the seed that died in order that we may have life and life in its fullness, that no matter what condition we find ourselves in, even if we're in lockdown, Lord God, you can't keep our hearts locked down because we have the power of the seed of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, alive in us. And he specializes in breaking out with his resurrection power out of any lockdown. We thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.